gift of gab,
a radio show for all but centered on issues that matter to women. Join the conversation on the request line 231-722-8338 on WUVS 103.7 The Beat, where your voice matters. You're listening to the gift of gab.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are, as I said in the intro, listening to The Gift of Gab, and today we have a very serious topic. I mean, every week it's pretty, I think, serious and important, but this is one that I believe affects every single person. As you all may or may not know, The Gift of Gab is a radio show that is open to all, but our focus is on issues that are important to women and empowering women. So today, our topic is grief and loss. And so, like I said, I believe that this topic affects everyone. And we want to talk about what is grief and loss, what are the assumptions, what are ways of coping, and what are some repercussions when we don't deal with this. So today I would love for you all to think about possibly calling in. Our number on the request line is 231-722-8338. Call in with questions or comments. You are more than welcome to do that. This is a safe space, as I love to say in my classrooms when I'm teaching, because I want people to feel that their opinions and their comments are respected. So today, my guests are Beth Boldhouse and Laura Ecker, and they are from the Skolnick Healing Center of Harbor Hospice. Hello, good afternoon, ladies.
Hi, Teresa.
Hello, Teresa.
Thank you so much for joining today. This subject is near and dear to my heart, but it's also a hard one. And so I just want to start off with you all giving a little bit about yourselves, what your job is, what you do there at Harbor Hospice. Oh, I'm sorry, at Skolnick Healing Center of Harbor Hospice.
Well, I've been doing grief counseling for 11 years. And
this is Beth.
This is Beth, yeah. I'm a licensed professional counselor, so I've been doing counseling for 15 years. And 11 of those years I've been doing grief counseling, which it was not something I started out thinking, oh, I think I want to be a grief counselor. Mm-hmm. In fact, I didn't really know that anyone really specialized in grief so much for doing counseling. And I went through a very difficult, heartbreaking, traumatic loss in my life in 2007, and that prompted me then through different series of events. And a lot of it was just God opening some doors, and I started volunteering at hospice. And that experience got me more into being more focused on grief. Of course, I was grieving, and I didn't know a whole lot about grief, so a lot of it was learning as I went along, but it has become something so powerful and so meaningful to be able to help people understand loss, which loss is everywhere, and there's so many different types. I think a lot of people think of death as the main loss, but really there's lots of other losses. There's loss of trust, there's relationship losses, there's pet loss, there's loss of faith, job, finances, just all health. Just so many different kinds. So I love being able to help people work through the grief associated with any kind of loss, and it's very rewarding, and really to see people be empowered and have their lives changed in a positive way.
Great. Miss Laura.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm also a licensed professional counselor, and my path into grief counseling, similar to Beth's, I actually worked at a hospice for part of my internship in grad school for my counseling degree. Okay. And it, just like Beth said, was kind of a new creature to me. Mm-hmm. Really, in schooling, didn't cover a lot specifically about grief and loss.
Okay.
So, like she said, learning that this was really a unique type of counseling, unique needs that people have when they're grieving. And what I intended to be just an internship to get my college degree turned into a job offer and really a passion. And I guess the rest is history, as they say.
Okay.
I work in private practice, too, and other types of counseling, but the grief counseling, again, very specific and really opened my eyes to what a huge, huge issue this is in our society and what a, you know, what a need there is for support for that.
Okay.
I think we both would agree, and we've kind of talked about this because I had a private practice for a little while, too, and, you know, it's so interesting because the more you do grief work, the more you start to realize that a lot of things, maybe almost everything that people struggle with can be traced back an unresolved loss.
Absolutely.
And once you start identifying, like say someone comes in with high anxiety or, you know, a lot of depression and they just can't work it through, and you start, you know, finding out more about their family history and different experiences they had, and you start to identify some of those unresolved losses and working through that, it starts to then play such a major role in how they start to deal with their anxiety differently and start to recover from that.
I would like to you all to talk about how you work in tandem with each other, but before that, I would like to piggyback off of what you just said, Beth, about how everything is connected practically to unresolved loss, or there's so much that's connected to unresolved loss. And so, just because I love that we can be transparent on this show, and I have shared some things about my background, but in 2014, I unexpectedly lost my husband. We just would have last month celebrated 23 years of marriage. And so it was a two-week, it was a blindside completely. It was a two-week diagnosis of leukemia, and he was gone. And I wanted no part of grieving. I thought I knew what it looked like, and all I knew, it was shock for a long time. And I just thought, you know what? I don't have time for this. I have two teenage boys. I have a job. I've got to keep it together somehow. So I thought that just staying busy, because I'd always heard, and I'm sure you all hear that too, well, you just got to stay busy.
Sure.
And I think that's a fine line because, you know, if you stay maybe isolated or holed up, that's not so great. But then if you throw yourself into the busyness, that's not so great. You're not coping, period.
Right.
And so I remember I came. Thankfully, somebody at my job had experience with you all, and they referred me. And I just, well, okay, I'll check it out. And I remember, Beth, that you told me, and I remember that first session so well, and I just remember sitting there. It was one-on-one, and I was like, what am I doing here? I'm still wrapping my head around this whole thing. And you said, if you don't deal with it, it's going to come up in ways and at times that you don't want it to. And it was such a warning, but you were so sweet about it and very kind but very firm, and you know, saying this has got to be dealt with and there's no way around it. It's not, you know, you can't skirt around it. And so I remember leaving there. And I didn't come back for a while, but I remember going, I was at work one day, and a man on the board came in and just simply said, how's it going, Teresa? And I just had a meltdown just from that simple, how's it going? Mm-hmm. And I just knew I needed help. I knew I needed help. And I think there's so many people out there who are hurting and just don't know how. So can you all maybe talk a little bit about, you know, those first steps, those initial, the shock? What do you do, or what do you suggest? Because everybody's different. I realized grieving is an individual thing. So I guess what would you say maybe to someone listening right now who has had a recent loss, and, you know, maybe they don't know where to turn. They're not sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I guess my first thought when you were talking was how hard it is for many people to reach out for support.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Either they think they can do it on their own, or they worry about how will this look if I ask for help, all sorts of things. Or I hear this a lot from people coming to our groups or individually. They come in and they say, I feel like I'm going crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to admit that. Mm-hmm. And what I always say to them is, you know what? You probably are a little crazy right now. And mm-hmm. that's okay.
That's okay.
That's part of it.
Sometimes you just need somebody to say that. Yeah. You just need somebody to say, you know, you're not alone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there are so many emotions and behaviors and responses in grief. Like you said, it's unique to everybody. And so we really try to normalize that. But your question of, you know, at the beginning, kind of what to do, depending on the person who has died, the relationship, a lot of times, you know, people are so wrapped up in the busyness and craziness, the chaos of paperwork and mm-hmm. planning and mm-hmm. taking care of someone's house or their belongings or, like you said, taking care of children, that it really is kind of a shock, or maybe not a denial so much in pretending it didn't happen, but just a denial that I can't deal with it right now because mm-hmm. there's so much to do. And I found that a few months down the road is real common when all of that chaos dies down with paperwork and all that, is when it really can hit people. So I guess I would just say to somebody, if it's been very recent, if you're in the middle of that chaos, get people around you to help you with things. Take time for yourself if you can. But, you know, just enlist support from people around you. Okay. And be prepared that it is normal and you're not crazy mm-hmm. when maybe 3 or 4 months down the road, suddenly you feel like you just crashed and mm-hmm. you think, what's wrong? I thought I had dealt with this. Yeah. So just to be prepared for that. And that just seems to be kind of a common experience.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think the other thing, too, is, you know, we all have people in our lives that want to fix us mm-hmm. and want to help us feel better.
Yes.
And so often, too, you know, when the griever, it's, you know, they're coming out of that chaos and now they're starting to realize, oh, my gosh, I am really missing this person. I don't know what to do. It's not uncommon for them to have people around them that are being like, you know, just stay busy. Just mm-hmm. don't think about it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's been a few months. Why aren't you over it yet?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And so if you know someone that's had a loss, that's absolutely the worst thing you can say to them. Mm-hmm. One of the worst things. Because, you know, there is usually no getting over it like we think of getting mm-hmm. over it. And also, a lot of times, like you said, Laura, it is a few months after that it really starts to hit people. And yeah. so calling us, you know, setting up a time to come in, I often will encourage people, you know, let's just meet one-on-one, just kind of process things mm-hmm. and then go from there. A lot of times people just want to come in once in a while, or maybe they want to come in every couple of weeks. But, you know, this is your journey, and, you know, we're here to help you do it your way, in a way that's safe and meaningful for you.
I cannot emphasize that enough, how valuable that message was for me, and I think for other people too that I've gone to support groups with through you all, is that it's individual. Mm-hmm. There is no look to it. And just as I said, I didn't want any part of grieving because I thought that what it looked like was me being in the puddle somewhere, you know, or, you know, just incapacitated. And yet, that's not necessarily, and that is a truth for some people. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely devastating. And it's whether it's a spouse. I read somewhere that a spouse, a parent, or a child are the top 3 most traumatic losses that a person can experience, and that it really can do a number on your mind, on your brain. Everything is different.
Yeah.
Everything that you knew to be true, it's
even,
different now.
Even right. We are different. I mean, when you think about, you know, we lose someone that is so important to us and we're so connected with.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be a sudden loss. It may not be a sudden loss. It may be they've been sick for a while and you know they're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But when it happens, it can still be traumatizing
yes.
in its own way.
Never prepared.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so, you know, that connection, that relationship, it's devastating. And having a safe person or a safe group, if you prefer a group even, which a lot of times I don't recommend people come right after a loss to a group, because sometimes the group itself, you know, can feel like you're just too vulnerable to be in a group. Even though groups are really supportive, sometimes you just need that one-on-one mm-hmm. at first.
Mm-hmm.
But the traumatizing factor is I think a lot of times people that aren't going through it don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And there's studies out there that have determined that a lot of times, you know, grief can resemble post-traumatic stress. Mm-hmm. You know, you you replay images over and over your mind, you have sleep issues, mm-hmm. High anxiety, you know, increased startle response, that safety is disrupted. And so there's just so many components to grief. And but the trauma level is really an important one. And to have someone that specializes in grief, because not all counselors or therapists do specialize in grief, that really understands that and can help you work through it is important.
I feel like when I went to one-on-one and a few of the support groups that I went to, you know, I just felt like it was such a no-judgment zone. Mm-hmm. You know, people could just say, like you all said, you know, I feel like I'm losing it, or just any, you know, whatever. And it was just, you all were just so caring, and so every, and then other people around you, mm-hmm. just the value of them saying, I felt that, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, or, oh exactly. my gosh, you know, or here's what I did, here's what helped me. And so I just, can you speak to the support groups a little bit more? And, you know, and I know that they're not for everybody. I know support groups are not for everybody, but it just seems like, you know, to have a tribe, mm-hmm. it just helps.
Right. And you absolutely have to have that safe place mm-hmm. to talk about the loss, your feelings, your experiences, your fears, all of those things. And this is just reality, is our friends and family after a certain point want us to stop talking about it, mm-hmm. Because they love us, mm-hmm. it's well intentioned, but like Beth said, they want to fix us, mm-hmm. They don't want us to be hurting, and
it's not their journey,
right? Exactly. Right,
because even people in the same family are grieving differently.
Yes.
If they have all
right.
experienced the same or similar loss,
mm-hmm. right, and that group space or individual sessions, that is that place. Mm-hmm. I say this in the group that I do quite often. If you need to tell the story 100 times, you can tell it 100 times here. Mm-hmm. And nobody will tell you, don't you think you've talked about that enough? Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. shouldn't you just put that behind you?
Yes.
Part of that healing for some people is just telling the story of the loss over and over and over.
Yeah.
And like you said, a no judgment zone. Mm-hmm. I just thought of a kind of a humorous example recently when you're talking about that. One person in my group, a few months back, said that he has a brother he's very close to, and mm-hmm. he, you know, talk a lot about his loss, and when his brother said to him one day, well, how are you doing? He said, oh, I'm coping. And his brother got a little upset, and he said, you're not coping, you're fine. You're fine.
Oh.
And everybody in the room said, kind of laughed, like, oh, okay, we're all fine. And so the kind of the running joke with the group now is if I come in there and say, well, how are we all doing today? Everybody say, well, let's ask his brother, you know. So a little bit of humor injected, but a perfect example, you know, mm-hmm. just to be able to come into a room
yes.
and say, I am not fine.
Yes.
I am not doing well.
Yes.
And have people say, hey, I get it, and it's okay.
And even to be able to vent, you know,
yes.
like this, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this person, I was so close to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, my faith is completely gone now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I think or believe about God anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And just to have a safe place where they can say it
mm-hmm.
and not have anyone say, okay, well, now let's open up the Bible. And, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, the Bible is so important and
mm-hmm.
faith is so important. But mm-hmm. there are times also, especially when we're hurting, we need to just be able to express our feelings
yes.
and know that we're going to be accepted and received. And then we can talk later maybe about
yes.
some of the other concerns that they have.
Right.
But the groups are so key, I think, in really helping people feel supported, feel like they're not going crazy, or if they are, that's okay, we're all going crazy together,
right?
And we have several groups. We have two groups that meet every week. We have a Monday evening at 6:00, and that's for any death loss. It's for adults to come, and we have several who've lost spouses. We have siblings, parents, you know, pretty much any kind of loss represented there. And then we have a spouse or partner support group that meets every Thursday at 10:00. And then we also have a mom's group that is so powerful and so meaningful. And that's for any mom or grandma who has lost any aged child. And that is the last Saturday of every month from 9 to 11. It's 2 hours. You'd be surprised how fast those hours go. But just to have that support, because that is such a devastating loss in and of itself. So just to be able to have those safe places where you can go. The mom's group, I've had some women express they're kind of afraid to go, and I just tell them, you know, it's where we talk about your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You can go. People in your life sometimes, I think, at least other moms have said, you know, they don't want to hear it anymore. They don't bring their name up. And so we'll talk about your children, bring pictures, you know, share memories. And yes, we do talk about the hard things, but we have lots of tears. We have, you know, some laughter and just a lot of encouragement and friendship.
I think that's something I would love to convey to the listening audience, that a grief support group is not necessarily, you know, everybody crying.
Right,
you know,
right.
It is definitely, like, you all are very structured with the topics and, you know, ways that, you know, you, for the day, okay, well, we've got this reading, and what do you think about this, or how did you deal with that? And it wasn't just a free-for-all, I should say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it how you all would encourage us to bring pictures of our loved ones. And, you know, people just felt free, I think, and bonded, because it gets to the point where people are looking for you, you know, after a while. Oh, have you seen so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, I haven't seen him lately. Maybe I'll call him or whatever. So it's just a special environment. And I haven't been back in a while, and I always know, I always feel it when I haven't been back, because it's just something about going and just connecting with people. And I've heard that my old group now meets for pie down at the Traverse Pie Company, so I'm like, I gotta go meet them and see what they're up to. But so the mom's group, that meets once a month.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the other two groups are weekly.
Okay.
And and you know, I want to say too, you don't have to always talk. You know, there's lots of people that come and just listen.
I've noticed that.
And that's okay, too, because not everyone wants to go to a group where they have to feel like they have to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And but just to be able to listen, maybe you want to share something or maybe you don't, and that's okay.
And some people get just as much out of it just by listening.
Right.
So, definitely. Can you tell us about the events that the Skolnick Healing Center of Harbor Hospice holds? You've given me kind of a list here. And what can you tell us about some of these events, starting with the first one?
Well, the first one is one for our entire hospice, and it also supports our healing center. And that actually is this Saturday, August 18th, at the Muskegon Yacht Club. It's our annual regatta, and it's the lakefront party of the year. There's lots of fun. There's sailboat races, a live band, food. There's an auction. You can go to our website to read more about that.
Okay. This year's a carnival theme.
Yeah.
So very family friendly.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Games, all kinds of things.
So that's this Saturday, the 18th of August.
Okay.
And then on Monday, September 24th at 6 p.m., we have our annual community remembrance. And what that is it, we gather together at Heritage Memorial Garden. It's open to anyone in the community. It's absolutely free. It's about a half an hour, very meaningful service where we have live music. We have someone to share a few words of, you know, encouragement and support. And then we do a bulb planting in honor of your loved one. And that is down on Western Avenue. And that is Monday, September 24th at 6 p.m. It is free, but you do need to call our hospice to reserve your spot, and that's 728-3442.
I love that you can use life. You can plant a bulb, which is a living, and it's for your loved one. And that bulb, who knows what it's gonna, how, you know, how it's gonna grow, but you're planting, you're perpetuating life.
Mm-hmm. And we've heard from people who have attended that they have gone back in the spring to see their flower.
And I'm sure they're like,
they
that one, that one right there is the one I'm planting.
Yeah.
Amongst like hundreds.
Yeah, and it's such a beautiful space, and really a healing space for people to just go and and remember their loved one.
And Pam Babbitt owns the garden, and she actually created it in honor of her husband who passed away, I want to say about 12 years ago or so. And so that makes it even more special for us, just to have that all in common with her, even. And, you know,
and imagine how she must feel. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All this life, you know, and memorial to her husband. And so one more, and then we're going to go to break. So what is the grief in the holidays? Tell us about that.
That is every year in November, and this year we're doing it on Monday, November 12th. And that is a time, it's about an hour, and we have a DVD that covers not only holidays, grieving, but also any kind of special days. And it's little stories by a lot of different people who share, you know, how they deal with birthdays, anniversaries, Mother's Day, and also holidays. And that is going to be held in Hart at our Hart office at 10:30 in the morning on the 12th of November. And then also in Muskegon at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Great, great. I do think that holidays can be so rough. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that there are others and, you know, things, celebrations and traditions that you once had that may go down to nothing, or they're just different because, you know, they're still going on, but your loved one isn't there. So I think that can be a potential blind side for people.
Yes.
Because you're so wanting to just do the day-to-day, I think, grief, coping with loss, and then, boom, a holiday is coming up, and you're like, oh, this sets me back, you know. Right. I mean, have you all kind of maybe seen that?
Just think of the pressure around holidays. You know, everybody wants us to have the big happy holiday gatherings like we see on movies and TV. And that's just not a reality for most people in general, and especially when a significant person has died.
Yes.
And you know, we help people when they come to group, especially November and December time frame when we're meeting in our groups. We help people start to prepare for the holidays, you know, mentally, emotionally.
Yes.
What is it you want to do? And give them permission. It's okay if you don't do anything.
Right.
That's, you know, what is best for you and your family this year is the main focus.
And making a plan.
Exactly.
You know,
not being caught without a plan.
Even if you plan to do nothing, that's your plan.
And knowing it's okay to change your mind at the last minute. If you say, yes, I'll be there, and then you wake up that morning, you're like, I can't do this. You just call and say, you know, and just helping them feel comfortable having boundaries that they are comfortable, that they need for themselves.
Great. You are listening to the Gift of Gab radio show, and we are talking about grief and loss with grief counselors from the Skolnick Healing Center of Harbor Hospice. We welcome your input, your feedback at 231-722-8338. We are going to a break and we will be right back. You are listening to WUVS 103.7, The Beat. Gift of Gab, 103.7, The Beat. Good afternoon. You are back with us on the Gift of Gab radio show on WUVS 103.7 FM, The Beat. And our topic today is grief and loss. We are here talking with Beth and Laura, grief counselors with the Skolnick Healing Center of Harbor Hospice. And again, I'm just grateful for you all being here today and sharing about this really important topic. And so we had left off where we were talking about some of the events that your organization hosts. So tell us about the Kids Holiday Open House.
We have some really great programs for kids, not just adults, who are grieving. One of them that we do every year in December is a Kids Holiday Open House. This is for any age child, you know, really young, like two up through high school. And what we do, it's an open house atmosphere. It's between 3 and 6 this year on December 18th. It's a Tuesday. So you don't have to be there the whole time. You can come, you know, with your children during that time. But they have an opportunity to make a memory ornament for their loved one. And we have a really great video that it's optional, but most of the kids do enjoy watching it. It's geared just for kids, made by a wonderful guy. His name is Trevor Romaine. He has a lot of videos out there for kids for different issues in life. And this one is called What on Earth Do We Do When Someone Dies? And it is all about the questions that kids have when someone dies, and it covers it in a very kid-friendly format.
Okay.
I've had parents call and say, ooh, is this a really intense movie? Like, are my kids going to get upset? And nope, it's geared towards kids, and they love that. We have some snacks, you know, Christmas cookies and different things and music. And last year, for the first time, we had a surprise visit by Santa.
Oh, nice.
That was awesome. But that is open to any family in our community. And you do need to call and just pre-register for that, so we, you know, have enough supplies. But
and Laura, you are the one-on-one children's counselor. Is that how I can say that? Or there are services, and you meet with children?
Sure,
right?
We both do.
Oh, you both do.
I wasn't work sure. with kids. Yeah, okay. We do offer individual counseling for that as well. And I have occasionally done a specific kids group, based on need, if there are enough, you know, families that are interested at a time, can do a group for them, too, that meets for 5 or 6 weeks.
Okay.
And cover some things. Another great program we have for kids is Camp Courage.
Okay.
And
what is that?
That is a grief camp for kids age 6 through 19. It is always in June, and that is on Big Blue Lake up here in northern Muskegon County.
Okay.
At Camp Pioneer Trails, and it's a weekend camp, Friday through Sunday. And we had a huge group this year. We had about twice as many kids as we did last year, and a lot of, you know, mostly local people, but I had some families that traveled a distance too. But that's an opportunity for kids to be with other kids who have experienced a loss.
Yes.
And it's amazing to see what happens. They come the first day and they're usually a little nervous, and you know, I'm going to be away from home. Are they going to make me cry here? What's going to happen? And by lunchtime that day, they just have connected with each other like you wouldn't believe. And we do a lot of fun, typical camp activities, swimming and archery and boating and scavenger hunt and campfire and all sorts of things that you would think about summer camp, but also have some very specific tailored activities, art activities, crafts, small group time that focuses on grief and coping tools, all of those things. So that is in June every year, and we usually send out information about that in January or February. So if you are interested in that, you don't have to wait till January or February.
Great.
Give us a call at 728-3442 at Harbor Hospice, and we can give you info on Camp Courage.
I appreciate hearing about that, because as a parent, you know, I wanted my sons to have grief therapy, and they just wanted no part of it, you know, and they just were like, how am I going to talk to a stranger about my daddy, you know?
Right.
They didn't know him. But there was a camp, it wasn't Camp Courage, but it escapes me right now, hopefully I can think of it before the end of the show, but there was a camp that my youngest son, he was a teenager, but he was in the early years of teens, and he went away for a week, and it was specifically for when a child had a parent who was a cancer survivor or died of cancer. So he went, and it was so interesting because my nephew went with him because my sister was going through her cancer ordeal, and then my husband had passed, so they had each other. And I remember, you know, just being grateful that this outlet was there. And I'm sure some parents feel that way about Camp Courage, because you just don't know sometimes what to say to your children, because you're in your own fog or zombie. I was like a zombie for a long time. You know, I didn't even know how to cope. What am I going to say to my kid? You know, and what's the right thing to say? Whereas this was a nice little break. So any of you out there maybe who are have experienced grief and loss and you want to, and you have a question, of course, everybody has experienced grief and loss. But if you have a specific question, or maybe you're a parent and you have a comment, or maybe there's a way that you have coped and you want to share that, please feel free to do that at 231-722-8338. And so let's go to the last item on the list here is the Pooches and People Picnic. What is that about?
Oh my gosh, that is so much fun.
And how does this relate to grief?
Well, you know, one of the huge blessings and privileges is that Harbor Hospice offers this type of grief support to anyone in the community, not just our hospice families, but anyone in the community at no charge. And it's so important because so many times when there's a loss, there's lots of financial issues too.
Yes.
And insurances, you know, do not cover grief counseling per se. Mm-hmm. And so it's just such a huge blessing that we're able to do that. And so the Pooches and People Picnic is an annual fundraiser, and that supports the School and the Healing Center of Harbor Hospice and the work that we do. And this year, or actually it's going to be next year, 2019, it's going to be held on Saturday, April 13th. And the fun thing about it is you get to bring your dog. Leashed pets are welcome. It's family friendly. Next year we're going to be doing a pooch costume parade with prizes. And we're going to have a puppy kissing booth. So that'll be fun. We're going to do different auctions. We're going to have lots of doggy games. If you've never seen a doggy game, I'll tell you about one of them. They lay out carpet squares with numbers on them, and everyone kind of like a ring around the rosy, and they walk around to the music, and then when the music stops and the number's chosen, your dog gets a special treat if they're on that number. It's so cool. And then lots of other fun events too. We've got doggy art. We've got lots of fun for kids. I mean, and we have a picnic lunch and lots of vendors there, and it's just a blast. It's so much fun. And so we're looking forward to that. So, you know, check things out on our Facebook page.
Yes.
It's Skolnick Healing Center, and Skolnick is S-C-O-L-N-I-K Healing Center. And if you search that, like our page, follow us, and follow what's happening. We have articles frequently that we share and different thoughts about grief, but also about our events.
Now, so, speaking of pooches,
yes,
don't you all have a special room? I remember the other location. No? Okay. But you do still have part of the grief services are pet loss?
If someone, yeah, we've actually had calls where people have lost a beloved family pet. And, we've worked with whole families dealing with the loss of their pet, or a child, or, an owner, or the parent and child will come in and just kind of help them process through that. Because that is a very,
very
real loss.
Devastating.
And it's very,
yes,
it can be very devastating, yes. So, yeah, I don't know that there's a limit to the types of losses that we work with.
Okay.
Every loss and grief are so wrapped up in all of our society in so many ways.
And remind us, how do you get your services out there? People not only come to you, but you are referred, right?
Yeah, physicians, counselors, schools, other agencies.
Word of mouth.
Okay. Yeah. Great. So I have a question here. Does grieving have to happen right away, or can people grieve years later? Is there a delayed grieving process?
Absolutely, yes. We encounter that actually quite often. We'll get a call from somebody who is asking about group or individual, and they'll be like, well, my mom died, it's been 5 years or 6 years, and they're just starting to be affected by it. Sometimes also when a death occurs, there's all kinds of other things going on in the family, and a person doesn't have a chance to really grieve, and so that's not unusual either. So there really is no time frame for grief. I mean, it can last a really long time, and it's absolutely possible that people will not grieve for a while. And sometimes when it's a traumatic grief, they don't want to grieve. They can't deal with it.
Yes.
So they'll, go to work, turn to work, or turn to other activities, that keeping busy thing, which on the one hand, it's not wrong to stay busy, but on the other hand, it can be used to avoid really dealing with grief. And so a lot of times, though, like you said earlier, it comes out later. And usually that's when someone will call. Maybe it's been several years, and now they're having difficulty. Maybe they can't get out of depression, or maybe they're starting to have an addiction issue. Or, you know, there's just all kinds of things, the way grief can become a negative thing in their life.
So would you say those are the repercussions of not grieving?
Yeah,
not,
they can be.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They can not be. Giving yourself time. Because I think you had said before we got on air that, you know, some people want no part of this because it takes effort, mm-hmm. it takes time, it takes work mm-hmm. to grieve, to work yes. through, to cope. And some people just want it, okay, I just want to deal with this the weekend. When can I move on? When can I move on? You might never get over it, right? Right. I mean, you may never get to that pinnacle. You might get further, mm-hmm. correct? You mm-hmm. might get further in your process.
Grief changes over time.
Yeah.
As you work through it. Of course, we never stop mm-hmm. loving or missing our person.
Yes, yes.
But the goal is... like I said, with time and working through, is that it lightens. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the sharp, heavy, negative mm-hmm. impact that it did at the beginning.
And learning how to live our lives now in the context of that loss. Mm-hmm. You know, this has happened, so now what does my life look like? Mm-hmm. And figuring out who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, our identity is so affected.
So
you know,
much so, yes.
That's a big part, too. Right. But I want to say, too, what you had said earlier, it's not unusual. I can't tell you how many times people will make an appointment to come in, and one of the first things they say is, okay, well, tell me what I have to do because I really don't want to have to go through this.
Yeah. Or I don't have time.
Yeah. What are my three steps?
Right, yes. Right.
So are there steps and stages to grieving?
Well, the
five-step process.
The five-step process. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross developed the stages of grief, and her research actually identified those stages for people who are dying. So, you know, they're in shock and denial at the diagnosis, and then they, you know, bargain with God or bargain with family or whoever, and they kind of go through those stages, and then they come to terms with, okay, I guess I am going to, you know, I'm going to face that I am going to die. So those stages are really made for people that are facing a terminal illness through end of life. But when people are grieving a loss, a death or another type of loss, there really is no nice, neat little stages that
okay.
we go through.
Okay.
A lot of times it feels like waves, you know, over and over, small waves, big waves, tsunamis that catch you off guard,
yes.
Or roller coaster rides, or like you're holding on to the tail of a dragon that's taking you every which way. And so like you had said earlier too, everyone experiences it differently.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a factor as well.
What about, I've heard of something called widow's brain.
Mm.
What do you guys make of that?
Well, I don't know if that's specific to widows.
Right.
We do talk,
grief fog.
We
grief
talk
brain.
About grief brain.
Grief brain, okay.
You know, grief affects us mentally, emotionally, mm-hmm. physically, mm-hmm. spiritually, financially, relationally, everything.
Yes.
I think you said it at the top of the show, your whole life changes.
Mm-hmm.
And the author C.S. Lewis, he wrote a book about grief when his wife died. And a statement that really stood out to me in there, he said, losing a spouse is like an amputation.
Wow.
And that's such a specific loss, mm-hmm. a really unique, hard loss, mm-hmm. and we talk about that in our group. Of course, your life has changed. Think of half of your body being amputated
yes.
and trying to live day to day without half of your body. This is what happens, this is what it feels like. Other people that we lose is like an amputation as well. And like Beth said, just learning how to live this new day-to-day
yes.
life is so challenging. But grief brain, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my children were much younger when my dad died. And it was not unexpected, but it was, you know, it's still hard. And,
mm-hmm.
and I forgot to pick my kids up at school. I get a call from the school, are you mm-hmm. coming to get your kids today? Mm-hmm. And what day is it? I didn't even know
mm-hmm.
how, you know, what a horrible mother. How could I leave my kids at school? Well, my brain was so in such a fog at that time.
Yes.
But these are the things that happen.
Yeah. And it's very normal to experience that.
Yeah.
I think one thing I've heard out of the support groups that I have attended in the past, something that I've heard often was, I just want my life back.
Yeah.
I want things to go back to the way they were.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think, so hard, you know, because it's never going to be.
Correct.
It's never going to be. And it's just really, it's more like, okay, at least for me, appreciate the time I had. And now, what can I do about today, you know, and appreciating today, and how can I use this time to put my best foot forward or to invest in me, you know? But it's a mind thing, you know, because you could go to a whole other dark place,
mm-hmm.
you know, just trying to get that back, you know, those feelings back, those memories back, or, you know, looking for that person. You could think that you see them.
That's very
or,
common.
You know, looking for that. And it's like, gosh, you know, and I feel it when people say, I just wanted to go back
yes.
to the way it was.
Well, that's another layer of the loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't just lose the person. We lost all the different dynamics
them,
of
yes.
that relationship.
Yes.
We lost what our life was like.
Mm-hmm.
We lost who we were.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, okay, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially like someone that's lost a child, I mean, that is such a profound, deep
yes.
Pain. I mean, the bond that a mother and a child have. And when that child dies, that bond is still there. You know, and yet
yes.
the child is gone.
Yes.
And, you know, all the different layers. And that's one thing we do talk a lot about in groups is all the different losses and the disenfranchised losses,
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
losses that people don't identify as loss that are part of your loss. Or maybe your loss itself. A lot of times people minimize a pet dying,
mm-hmm.
but it may be one of the most significant losses that a person goes through.
I was just going to say we cannot compare one loss to
True.
Another. They're all loss.
That's right.
Like, I know I've had a couple of friends say, you know, a person who is divorced, you know, oh, I know how that feels. You lost some money. And it's like, not quite. But I'm not saying that your divorce wasn't devastating.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just different. And
yeah.
we cannot compare. Just like you said, a pet lost somebody. Oh, that's just mm-hmm. a dog. No, that was a part of the family.
Right.
You know, so we just have to be careful with that. So
well, one of my favorite authors, that wrote the Grief Recovery Handbook, John James, he wrote that we all experience loss at 100%, regardless of
mm.
the type of loss.
Mm.
We are experiencing it. I'm experiencing my loss at 100%. You experience your loss at 100%. So do you. And, you know, that's an important thing because
yes.
it's not fair to compare each other's losses because we're all hurting in our way, in our own ways.
Yes. As we wrap up our topic of grief and loss, I just want to end with one thing, and that is, what do you all, can you give us one thing that you all do for self-care? What do you do in this kind of, in this field, which I know you're passionate about because I see it in you, and when I've been there, I've seen it. But how do you keep yourself sane, you know, when you've got so many people who are unloading on you, I mean, for lack of a better word, every day about their grief and journey and their losses? How do you all keep yourself, I guess, fresh and keep your because you all are so caring, and so how do you do that?
Well, I really think anybody in any kind of helping profession,
okay.
we need to be aware of self-care,
mm-hmm.
and very important so we don't get burned out.
Yes.
We do, Beth and I do deal with a lot of emotional
mm-hmm.
stuff during the week. A lot of sadness and tragedy and heartache, and
mm-hmm.
but also a lot of laughter and good stuff. It's funny, I've heard this many times from family or friends or just strangers I might talk to, admire. They find out I'm a grief counselor. They say, oh, that must be so depressing. And I just kind of laugh and say, no, I'm never depressed at work. I cry
true.
With people.
Yeah.
I feel
yes.
with them, but I'm never depressed.
Mm.
But I think, you know, a key, at least for me, if you're asking what I do for mm. self-care, this probably sounds kind of goofy, but I call it karaoke therapy. And I go with friends once a week, maybe twice a week, and we either listen to karaoke or do karaoke.
Okay.
And that's just my thing. I love music. I love socializing, and that's my outlet. And, you know, everybody there is generally in a good mood and friendly. And just,
I've never seen a down-and-out karaoke.
No, and that's one of the things I do. But I also know when maybe it's time to turn off the phone or the TV,
okay.
shut down the computer, and have a mental break. You know, go for a walk, spend time with positive people, and just, you know, to do things that we enjoy. And my spiritual life, too, just knowing when maybe that connection with God is getting a little bit frayed because I'm getting a little bit frayed.
Okay.
And taking care of that is very important for me.
And Beth?
Yeah, and I'm someone, I need more alone time to kind of chill out and defrag. So I like spending time with my dogs. Nothing better in the world to me than having them climb on my lap and fall asleep.
Your dogs are adorable.
They are. I like playing the piano just to relax.
Okay.
I try to limit my time on social media. I do check Facebook every day, but I don't always post or I don't do as much with it as maybe I used to many years ago. And like what you said, you know, surrounding yourself with positive people and turning my phone off, that is a big one. Or waiting for someone to leave a message before I, you know, just answer the phone. Because, you know, there is never an end to loss of one way or another. And I want to always be there for people. But, yeah, I have to take care of me, too.
Yes, boundaries.
And, you know, finding a good outlet. You know, I decided to go back to school, so that's an outlet. I love that. I love my church, being involved there. So doing things that nurture me is really important.
Good. Ladies, thank you so much. I just appreciate you so much.
Yeah, and we're so thrilled to be here.
Thank you.
It's an important topic, and I hope that people will visit the website. Can you give it one more time?
Well, Facebook, it's the Skolnick Healing Center.
Okay.
And then our website is harborhospicemi.org.
Okay.
/resources/grief support. But if you just go to harborhospicemi.org,
will it lead you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then also, if you have questions, you know, feel free to call our number 231-728-3442 and ask for grief support, or you can email info @harborhospicemi.org.
Great. Ladies, thank you so much.
And
Lisa. Gift of Gab audience, thank you so much for listening. Next week, we will have author Shelley Beach, and she will talk to us about the books that she's written, namely about caregiving and trauma. This has been the Gift of Gab on WUVS 103.7 The Beat. Thank you for tuning in.
Gift of Gab, 103.7 The Beat.